Our scripture readings this morning, the first one comes from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10, and it can be found on page 1111 in your Pew Bible. Hear these words from Isaiah. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will come into bloom. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord and the splendor of God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees, the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs in the haunts where jackals once lay. Grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked tools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get upon it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Our second reading comes from James, James chapter 5, verses 7 through 10, and that can be found on page 1885 in your Pew Bibles. This is the patience in suffering. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And our third reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 through 11, and that can be found on pages 1512 in your Pew Bible. This is Jesus and John the Baptist. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive light, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John excuse me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert and see? A reed swayed by the wind. If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes. No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what do you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I will tell you, and more than a prophet. This will be the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare a way before you. I will tell the truth, among those born of women there is not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Wow, I feel like I'm in a hole here. Let's start by praying together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we have the opportunity to study your word, to be in your presence, and to be guided by your word. Be with us this morning. In all things, we do pray through Jesus, your Son. Amen. So on this third Sunday, we light the shepherd's candle, we called it this morning. And as I thought about that, you think in later years, the shepherds had the same question that John had? Because he says, and I think it's an important question we often ask ourselves. He said, are you the one who's to come, or should we expect someone else? It's an important question. I mean, we often lose our excitement about Christmas, don't we? It gets to be humdrum, or, well, this is what we do every year, so we're going to do it again, we're going to do it again. Or maybe we should look at it a little differently. I mean, when we light that pink candle, it's for joy, it's for love, and it's also for faithfulness. But do we really know what's required to love God? To have faith in him. James, he tells us, actually, if we were to continue to read verse 11, he told us to persevere, to stand firm. And in order to persevere, we have to be patient. So, we all had kids that probably in this congregation, or you grew up as a child. How many remember having to tell their kids to be patient? Christmas is on its way. I mean, I had nosy kids. I'm certain they peeked at all the gifts. You couldn't hide them anywhere. My parents used to take our gifts when I was a little kid to my uncle's house, and they'd swap gifts. It just wasn't right. Because we were always impatient. And I can't tell you how many times my mother would come up and say, Joseph, be patient. I mean, we all get excited about Christmas, don't we? I mean, one of the easiest things, how many times have you asked this season, what do you want for Christmas? I think Bonnie's asked me that about 14 times. My answer is, I don't know. I got everything. But a lot of us are not afraid to share what we want for Christmas. I hope you all had a chance to read the message this week. I'm not going to give that message. It's going to be just a little bit different. But I got thinking about this, and I got thinking about the situation John was in. And if you were with us this morning in our Sunday school, we studied about Mary. And the more I thought about Mary, and I got to thinking about, you know, before all this, all our Christmas, our Advent season came into being, Mary went and visited Elizabeth, who was John the Baptist's mother. We all know the story. Who doesn't know the story? Do I need to tell it? Tell it. All right, so Zachariah, who was Elizabeth's husband,
was told when he was at the temple that his wife, who was getting along in years, was going to have a baby. His name was going to be John. Well, Zachariah was so excited when he came out, and he had a hard time believing it, so he lost his voice and he couldn't speak. But he had his wife Elizabeth, who probably, the guess was probably later in life. We assume, many assume, she was 50 or 60 years old. She was going to have a baby. Well, she became pregnant. Well, then Mary went to visit her. And we always assumed, and I always had this vision, that at the time Mary was there, the Bible tells us that the baby jumped in her womb. So John recognized the Savior that was in Mary's belly at the time. So can you imagine what would happen if Mary was there when Elizabeth delivered? Some scholars tell us that that's quite possible. Because John was 6 months older than Jesus. And we know this to be a fact. And then Mary heads back. Now she's headed to Bethlehem to have a baby. And John, as they grew up, did he ever really get to know his cousin? He must have been amazed to find out that, guess what? He was the one that was going to come and prophesy and tell everybody that the Lord became man, that Jesus had come. He was the Messiah, had arisen. And John, he goes out in the wilderness. Now he's out in the wilderness. He's kind of like a crazy man. He's kind of been pushed out there because we don't want him in town. This man, I mean, he's wearing camel's hair. He's probably got long hair. He's got a belt wrapped around him. He's eating wild. He's eating locusts and eating wild honey. Quite the diet, don't you think? And he's screaming at everybody who comes, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Now, he wasn't afraid to mince words whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, one day, Jesus shows up. His cousin shows up. He knows that he's the Son of God. He's the chosen one. He's the Messiah. I think Jesus shows up. So John's out there. He's yelling and insulting everybody. When Jesus comes, he's got quite a different message, doesn't he? He's teaching that we need to love one another. Talk about strange events and how things happen, how they work in life. I mean, John's out there eating all this weird food, yelling at sinners, telling them to repent. What happens? Jesus goes to dinner with them. I think about the differences in their styles and the way they gave the message. And I'll bet when Jesus walked away, when the two separated, went in their different ministries, John was scratching his head. Really? John felt that he had to be old, like an old-style preacher, you know, fire and brimstone, throwing it out there. Here goes Jesus. He leaves. He doesn't preach fire and brimstone, does he? He eats with sinners, with the tax collectors. As I thought about this, and I thought about now John, he gets himself thrown in prison because he got a little too political. So he mixed his religion in politics, and that doesn't go real well, does it? And people in power, they don't like to be told what to do or what God tells them to do, do they? There's always consequences. So they throw John in prison. So John's in prison. He's on death row. And somehow he gets the word out to Jesus because he's got these real doubts going in. Are you the one to come, or should we expect somebody else? How many in your faith have ever got that way? You wonder, God, are you really there? Who's asked that? I'm certain every one of you at one point in your life said, God, are you there? Are you even hearing me? I'm not seeing what I want to see. You're not what I expected to see. We have a hard time being patient, don't we? Persevering. That's what James was writing to his people about. He said, you need to have patience. Be patient so we can persevere. I found a story, a good example of how we are to do that. I'd like to read you this story. There was a rebellion of a teenage daughter was breaking her mother's heart. Their struggle reached its zenith when a young girl was arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol. So after posting bail for her daughter, the two did not speak until the next afternoon. So when they came together, the woman handed her daughter a small wrapped gift. The girl flippantly opened it and was exasperated by what she saw. For the box contained a small rock. Well, she looked at her mom and said, "What's this for?" And her mom said, "Simply read the card." So she did and was overcome by the words inside. The tears began to stream down her cheeks as she reached out to embrace her mom. The card said, "This rock is more than a million years old. That's how long it'll take before I give up on you." I mean, isn't that an example of how to be patient? I mean, God patiently waits on us, doesn't he? With his unrelenting and enduring love. And we would do well to use the same strategy to break through and to love one another. So we've made our list. We've checked them twice. We know exactly what we want. However, only Jesus knows what we need, doesn't he? Because there's a difference between what we want and what we need. And only Jesus knows the difference. Christmas will be here. We'll recognize Jesus is soon going to be here. Are we willing to be patient enough to wait for his return? And what do we do while we wait? How do we be patient? That's the real question. Will you be loving and forgiving as Jesus did? Or are you going to leave here out here screaming and hollering? Repent, repent. Chances are, if we do what Jesus taught us to do, to love one another, you'll have a Christmas to remember. And will y'all remember that? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for how you provide for us. Thank you for the opportunities we had today to help others, to love one another, and to be part of something special. Guide us this morning in all things. In Jesus, we do pray. Amen.